start just a little different. We have some exciting news
as we begin our worship service together. As you can see, we have Evan and Hannah Perry standing here with me. I'd like to share with you all that this week there's been some exciting conversation. They've been able to talk with their parents this week, and we're able to have a conversation with Gary as well and share with him that they want to follow Jesus Christ for the rest of their lives. And this is a very exciting time, especially considering we have some baptisms today. So right now, knowing that they have committed their life to Jesus Christ and following Him, they would like to be baptized and then join our church family together. And so we would need a motion to make that carry forward. Motions and second it. This is a very exciting day. We are ready for that. And now y'all get to scoot quickly back to find Gary to begin the rest of the morning. Sound good? All right, y'all go find Gary. See you soon. Very exciting time to see how children are coming together to give their life to Christ. Always amazing to see that. We have a few announcements this morning, but before that, we would like to welcome everyone to our worship service. If you are a guest with us, we are glad that you are here. We have guest cards. They're located right in front of you in the pew. We would love for you to fill one of those out and place it in the offering plate when that comes around so we can just have a record of your attendance with us this morning. We do have three different announcements besides those in your bulletin just to make sure we're aware of those. You've noticed that the past several weeks we have the children's sermon at a slightly different location. I love seeing all the children come down front. That's always exciting. But if we could wait for me to move forward after the ushers have already collected the offering and have gone back, I will then stand up and move to our area here, and that's when the other children can come down who aren't already sitting here and wait for the music to conclude for us to begin our children's sermon time together. So we'll make sure that has some time to flow properly. Also, this Thursday at 6:30, if you are a leader or a teacher in any capacity, music or otherwise, for Wednesday nights, this Thursday at 6:30, we're going to have a meeting. So if you teach or lead on Wednesday nights in any way, shape, or form, please make this a priority to be there at 6:30 on Thursday, and we'll make sure that we're good to go by that time. And also, just a reminder that Saturday, April 19th, is not too far away. We have our children meeting together for a time to celebrate Easter, and I'm sure there'll also be a few eggs scattered around for the children to hunt and find as well for us to enjoy that morning together at 10 a.m. Just a few announcements that we're all aware of now. Do we have any others before we begin our worship service? Okay. Well, hearing none, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. God, we are so grateful to be here, gathered together as your church, Lord. It is exciting to know that during this time of worship where we sing praises to your name and we have your word transform our hearts, that we also get to witness others publicly professing your Son as Lord and Savior of their lives. What an exciting moment. What a challenge before the church to continue to help mold them in that process as we come alongside their families as well. God, guide us this morning. Open our hearts. Open our minds. Free us from distractions so we can recognize your presence right here, right now, being prepared and molded for the week that is ahead to be your Son's disciples to all we see in the coming week. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now let us spend several moments preparing our hearts for our worship service.
no greater privilege than we as church to disturb the waters of baptism. For it means that eternities have been settled, that names have been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life for all eternity. And the great stage, it reminds us, was when Jesus went down to see John, who was baptizing in the River Jordan. And when he made his way, John said, "I'm not even worthy to unfasten your shoes." I know how John felt. But Jesus said, "Suffer it to be so now." And there's a great image. You see Jesus being baptized in the River Jordan. And the scriptures say that when he came up from out of the water, that the heavens were open, and that the Holy Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove and lit upon his shoulder, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Today, we will hear the voice of God say, "These are my beloved children, in whom I am well pleased." And upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, and in obedience to his command, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, and in obedience to his command, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, and in obedience to his command, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is your Lord and as your Savior, and in obedience to his command, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Settled eternity, claiming you as Lord of their life, and followed you in the beginning of their obedience in the waters of baptism. Go with them throughout their life as they continue to grow in their faith, And may you take the message, Lord, that they have preached to this congregation today by their faithful obedience. And remind us, if there's one here who doesn't know you in the pardon and forgiveness of their sin, and eternity has not been settled, then use their message to speak loudly. And for those of us who are of the faith, may we be reminded of who you are in our life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Page 345. Remember, the children come down after the music stops. Let's all stand.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to come into your house to worship. Please accept these offerings that they might be pleasing to you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. wonderful to see you all come down. I know we're getting a little adjusted as to how we're doing that, so we'll make sure there's plenty of time for a few more of you to come down and sit anywhere you see. I love being able to see all of you at the same time, and we're all settled here. Good morning. So good to see all of you again. Isn't it exciting when we see people get baptized? That's so great to see. With this morning, my question this morning actually may be a little more serious than it usually is. And my question this morning is to ask you, has there ever been a time where you've been sad? Just raise your hand if there's ever been a time you've been sad before. I think we can all raise our hand to that. Now, has there ever been a time that you've cried before? I can raise my hand too, right? I'm pretty sure even big, strong adults, we've all at some point cried sometimes. And you may be wondering, well, Matt, why are we talking about that this morning? Well, did you know that even Jesus cried? And we're going to talk about that and why in a little bit. Well, I was trying to think of a couple reasons where sometimes we might be a little sad. Maybe you've been riding your bicycle and you fell off and you hurt yourself. And that made you cry a little bit. Maybe you've been embarrassed before. You tripped and fallen and you cried because you were embarrassed. Or maybe you even got sad when somebody said something mean to you and it hurt your feelings. And that might make you sad too. Well, like I mentioned earlier, Jesus also cried. He was sad too. And the shortest verse in the entire Bible is only two words. And it's John chapter 11, verse 35. And it says, Jesus wept. That means Jesus cried. He was sad. You may be wondering, well, why are we talking about that this morning? But I want you to know, as we get closer to Easter, it's kind of a sad time to think about. Jesus dying on the cross for all of our sins. But I do want us to think about that. And even though Jesus was sad, the Bible even tells us he was sad and cried when he prayed for people because he knew that they needed to listen to God. He even was sad and cried when his friends were hurting because he wanted to be able to help them. And so even though it's sad to think about Jesus dying on the cross, we need to remember that 3 days later, it's very exciting to know that he was raised from the dead. And that's something to be very excited about and joyful about. So it's okay to be sad, but also remember that Jesus knows what you're thinking. And he can understand what you're going through. And that when we celebrate Easter, even when it's sad, remember that we're celebrating he also rose from the dead. Okay? So let's pray about that this morning. God, thank you so much for reminding us that it's okay to be sad and even cry, Lord, because we know your son Jesus did too. And God, we thank you for him dying on the cross for our sins. And thank you for reminding us that he also raised from the dead. And that causes us to celebrate and be joyful. Tell us how to show other people and tell other people that this week. Amen. I'll see y'all next week.
Listen to me, sinners, don't you want to go? For someday he's coming back again, you know. If that wrong ain't righted, you'll be lost in sin. Get in line, brother, he will take you in. Get in line, brother, if you want to go home. Get on your knees and righten that wrong. Then you'll be singing this old time song. Get in line, brother, if you want to go home. If I could tell you, brother, just how I feel, then I'm sure you'll know the love of God is real. Then you'll be praying while I sing this song. Get in line, brother, if you want to go home. Get in line, brother, if you want to go home. Get on your knees and righten that wrong. Then you'll be singing this old-time song. Get in line, brother, if you want to go home. Now listen to me, Satan, I have righted that wrong. Got a one-way ticket and I'm going home. I've got no worries as I sing this song. Get in line, brother, if you want to go home. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, fly away. Get in line, brother, if you want to go home. Get on your knees and right then that wrong. Then you'll be singing this old-time song. Get in line, brother, if you want to go home. Then you'll be singing this old-time song. Get in line, brother, if you want to go home. We're going home. Get in line, brother, if you want to go home. Get on your knees and right in that wrong. Then you'll be singing this old-time song. Get in line, brother, if you want to go home. Then you'll be singing this old-time song. Get in line, brother, if you want to go home. We're going home. We're going home.
O Zion Haste, page 583, first and last verses only. Let's all stand.
You may be seated. Publish glad tidings. Isn't that a wonderful thought, what we publish in our life each and every day? Let me invite you to open the bulletin to those of our prayer concerns. And one thing we want to acknowledge that last Sunday the flowers were placed in honor of the 60th wedding anniversary of Jesse and Athleen Walker, which they celebrated this past Monday. And so I just... I'm grateful for that testimony of a lasting relationship. As we look at the prayer concerns, you'll notice that we had to make the font very small this past Wednesday. One of those times that there just seemed to be a lot of need. There is a lot of need. I'm sure that each time any of us gather here in this number with our hearts full of love for people, we know people we need to be praying for. One name I would like to add to our prayer list, Brent Smith, who was at the coast this weekend, began to develop some pain and is currently in the hospital, spent the night last night.
I talked to Gene just a few moments ago. They are leaning toward, they think this was kind of an acute pancreatic attack. He seems to be doing better. The pain is gone. They are running some more tests. But we want to keep Brent in our prayers. He's currently at New Hanover Hospital. Hopefully we will be getting word that he has been released today. That's going to be our hope and our prayer. In worship, there is no more appropriate thing than for us to pray. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, this is our little list. And Lord, the churches in this area, they have a list. And the churches in Lee County, they have a list. And in North Carolina, they have a list. And in the United States, they have a list. And around the world, there's a list. But Lord, in your miraculous godness, you know every need. You know every list. You know every person who's on that list. God, you knitted each one together in their mother's womb. And so as we pause in the awesomeness of our need, we pause in the awesomeness of who you are. And Lord, our needs pale in comparison to how mighty and good you are. And so, Lord, as we lift these before you, we ask for your hand to touch each need, as you know there's need, to comfort each heart, to heal each brokenness, to comfort each who've lost a loved one. And Heavenly Father, as we continue to worship you today, remind us that you're not just somewhere way away looking down at a group of people in a building. But God, you're sitting beside each one of us. And God, you know each heart. You know each need. You know each choice. You know each struggle. Heavenly Father, as we praise you and express our love to you in this worship time, may you speak to us clearly that we might love you better when we gather to worship again. In Christ's name we pray. Thank you, choir, and thank you for the Lord. I invite you to open your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, the 14th chapter. This day, when we observe both the ordinances of the Baptist Church, that of baptism and the Lord's Supper, if you're visiting with us, let me just remind you, we share an open communion. We invite all baptized believers in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior to share with us when we come to the Lord's table. Easter. I'm looking forward to moving ever closer to that reality. I look forward to our Maundy Thursday service when we will share a walking communion and we will be mindful of how much Christ loved us that he would endure the cross. And then on Easter Sunday, when our choir shall bring a message in song and we shall greet one another with the phrase, "He is risen. He is risen indeed." We come to our text today, the great invitation of the one who provided us with what's called the Messianic banquet, a meal that we often think of when we think of heaven, a place where there will be no want or no loss, no hunger. No one left out. And Jesus took the occasion of a meal that he was invited to, probably as the honored guest at this Pharisee's home, to teach a great lesson. Luke's Gospel, the 14th chapter, we're going to begin to read in the 12th verse, and we're going to read through verse 24. If you're able, I would invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word. He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God," the messianic banquet. But he, Jesus, said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet, and he invited many. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, now everything is ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported those things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us as you have already spoken, and give us ears to hear, a heart to believe, and a life to act upon our belief. In Christ's name we pray. Thank you. You may be seated. We've been talking for the last several weeks about disciples. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? We studied today in our Sunday school lesson about the Great Commission, about God's loving us so much that he gave his only son. And here we take an example where Jesus gives this great idea of what I'd like to call an outward focus. A disciple has an outward focus. Have you ever seen things out of focus? Without my glasses on, the world is fuzzy. I wonder if I might be willing to pray today. God, give me Jesus' eyes. Let me see the world like Jesus does. I'm going to talk about that thing for just a moment that makes most of us a little uncomfortable. We'll talk about sharing our faith. We'll talk about an outward focus that says what we do in here is not the main thing. It's an important thing, but the main thing is what we do out there. Our focus must be outward. I don't know if you've ever played with binoculars, but you can focus them in on one item and everything around it, behind it, is blurry. And you can focus again and make them look further, and then the things that are up front become blurry. It's fun to play with. If I play too much, it gives me a headache. I don't know what that tells me about me. An outward focus. How many lost people did you see last week? They're not on the endangered species list, I'm afraid. If statistics are right, 65% of the people who live in Sanford are unsaved. In North Carolina, in the United States. How many did we see? Are we kind of like a guy I heard about who prayed one morning, "Lord, if you want me to pray, if you want me to witness to someone, give me a sign who it is." He prayed that prayer every morning. On this day, he found himself sitting next to this guy, and the bus was about half empty, and it was just before his next bus stop. And before he could get up, all of a sudden, the guy sitting next to him burst into tears, grabbed him by the lapel, and said, "I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I need someone to tell me how to be saved. Could you help me?" To which the man prayed, "Lord, is this a sign?" I wonder if I'm like that guy. I wonder if I have an outward focus for lost people. And even when they grab my lapel and shake me and say, "Tell me how." Because I'm going to guess that last week, and if not last week, at least last month, someone grabbed us, maybe not with their hands, but with their heart, and they asked us, "What must I do to be saved?" What did Jesus want us to understand? He wanted us to understand the opportunity of the obvious. Jesus, if you study his life hardly at all, you'll notice that most of his ministry, most of his teachings, they weren't in the synagogue. Oh, there's some there. But most of them were just on the way, just as he lived his life. He was invited to a man's house, and suddenly he shared a parable. He was walking down the street, and he saw a fellow in a tree, and he called him down. He just looked for opportunity, and he realized what I don't often realize, that opportunities were obvious. They were everywhere. They're around us too. Sometimes we have to tune in. You know that old story? I dare say everybody here knows it, but bear with me. I'll share it with you anyway, about the guy that was in the flood. You remember that story? And they came by on a bus, and they said, "It's going to flood. You need to get on the bus." He said, "Oh, no, God will take care of me." Well, the waters came. The bus left. The flood waters began to flow. They came back on a boat. And they said, "Buddy, it's going to get worse than this. Get in the boat." He said, "Oh, no, it's okay. God will take care of me." The waters continued to come. Finally, he found himself having torn a hole, and now he was standing or sitting on top of his roof. They sent a helicopter by and dropped a rope and said, "Buddy, it's going to get worse. Grab the rope." He said, "No, it's okay. God will take care of me." And so they left, and he drowned. And the first thing he said to God when he stood there, "God, I had all the faith in the world. What in the world? Why didn't you take care of me?" And God said, "Well, I sent a bus, a boat, and a helicopter. What did you want?" Well, what does God want? Where is plan? Where is outward focus? Where it? Where all he's got? Now, I've got to soften that just a little bit. We're all he's got because that's his plan. It's obvious. But I've got to make sure I'm seeing, oh, it probably won't be a sermon. I hope it won't be a helicopter or a boat, but just a word, a prayer. Have you ever told someone you'll pray for them? It changes your conversation after that. Sharing God's love, making sure we're walking as close to God as we can, makes things obvious to us. We're challenged to see everyone in a different way. I'm going to just very briefly this morning share a truth, I think, of of a story I read this week about dominoes. Have you ever seen somebody that was good at lining up dominoes? Have you ever played dominoes? I haven't ever actually played the game dominoes but a couple of times, but I have lined them up to knock them down. You ever done that? And this writer took the idea of the last domino, that you have set up hundreds of dominoes back here, and you've tipped those way back here, and they've started to fall. And down they come. You can see it in your mind's eye. And then finally they hit that last domino, and down it falls. He said, sometimes if we're not careful, that's how we see even our walk with God. We just see that last domino. We get ill at that last domino for falling. We say, stop falling. Why do you keep falling? We don't realize all the things we're setting in motion every day, every night, that cause the dominoes to start. If we're not prayed up, we won't witness. If we're not studied up, we probably won't witness. If we're not growing in our faith, we probably won't share our faith. Those are all the dominoes that have a tendency to fall. Not only is that opportunity obvious, but there's an obligation to share. An obligation to share all the time with everyone. I wonder today, I'm going to give it two simple truths. We can't live wrong and share right. We can't live wrong and share right. Probably everybody can say, that's right, preacher. We can't be hypocritical. We can't go out here and live for the devil and then talk with the Lord. We understand that. But let me give you the second statement now. None of us can live right enough to not share. None of us live a lie. You see, the Bible didn't say, for God so loved the world that he sent Gary McCullough to live in front of everybody. Never say a word, just live, that others would see. Because Gary's not that good. And you can put your name there. You're not that good either. But there's one name we can put there. And that's the name we've got to share. You remember how the verse goes? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, whoever watches him, whoever follows him, he lived right enough. But then even he also shared. It's an invitation. In closing this morning, I want us to look at the overflow of the ordinary. Jesus just allowed it to flow out of him. How? What we say. What we wear. Where we go. When we laugh. What we listen to. How we care for others. Who we invite to Christ and then to the church. That's our overflow. Go out and do whatever it is we do in life. And let the overflow of a loving relationship with God flow into the lives of others. That's an outward focus. If I understand that this afternoon's not about me, but it's about me loving God, then that'll make all the difference. If I can allow the overflow. I love that image of an overflow. In just a moment, you're going to hold in your hand an ancient cup. And a piece of bread that dates back 2,000 years. And I'm going to tell you, believing that you hold in your hands the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. And it is the overflow of two ordinary little things that continue to shape us and to mold us. Today, are we focused? I asked a moment ago, how many lost people did you see last week? Let me close with this question. How many lost people? People who need the Lord. will we see this week? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, would you in this moment speak to us that we might speak to you, that we who are disciples growing in our faith will understand that we must have an outward focus on this community and on people who need the Lord. I thank you for four who settled eternity today by publicly professing you and following you in the waters of baptism. They're more in Deep River. They're more in Sanford and Lee County who need to make that decision. Help me to see them. Help us to see them. And invite them to come to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision and invitation is page 312, Softly and Tenderly, this morning. If you need to come and make some decision for Him, we invite you to do so. And may each of us, especially those of us who are about to take from the Lord's table, take the opportunity of this hymn of invitation to spiritually wash our hands as we prepare to come to the Lord's table as we stand together. Would you please be seated, and I invite our baptismal candidates and their deacons to come forward to present them with their certificates before we share from the Lord's table. Appreciate that part of our ministry, and these will be the deacons that will be looking after them officially. One, Mark Jackson, is away, and one was his, but we want to be remembering him and his family as they're returning from that memorial service of yesterday for his father. And now we come to the Lord's table, and we again invite all who are baptized believers in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior to share from the Lord's table with us as we now come to remember.
We approach this time celebrating the Lord's Supper, I hope that we are praying for God to reveal himself to us and how we are reflecting on Jesus Christ's suffering, his dying and his resurrection as well. And as we're about to partake in the bread, I hope and pray we can reflect on Jesus' suffering at this time and what he went through and the way we are aware of that was all for us. So I want us to hear these words in Matthew 25, verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Let us pray. God, we come before you at this time humbled to know that we get to remember the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we approach this table here before us now, show us in our hearts how you have transformed us into your Son's image. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
take any.
And it said on that same night, after our Lord had broken the bread, that he took a cup and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "This is my blood and I shed it for you." Would you pray? Oh God, your blood has changed everything. Blessed be your holy. Thank you.
I like it when we almost run out of elements. That's a good thing. And according to the law, I may almost say that all things are cleansed with the shedding of blood. And apart from the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, then the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all our sins, and we have fellowship one with another. Stand with me. And it said on that night after our Lord had shared the Lord's Supper that they sang a hymn, and we're about to sing a hymn that is our closing prayer, "Blessed be the tie that binds." They went out to a garden called Gethsemane, where there Jesus would pray three times for the cup to pass from Him, but not His will. His Father's will be done. Judas Iscariot would lead a band from the temple guard, the Sanhedrin. They'd come to Gethsemane, and there he would betray the Lord with a kiss. They would carry Jesus before the Sanhedrin, and they would accuse Him of blasphemy. They would carry Him before Pontius Pilate and accuse Him of high treason and trying to overthrow the Roman government. Pilate would send Him to Herod, the king of the Jews. Herod would send Him back to Pilate. The crowds would scream, "Save Barabbas the murderer, crucify Jesus." Pilate would sentence Christ to die and then wash His hands. They led Jesus and two others out of the city to a place called the Hill of Skulls, Golgotha, Calvary. There they would nail Him to the cross, and there He would hang until He died. They would thrust a spear in His side to hasten His death. And the Scriptures say that blood and water flowed from the wound, symbolizing a broken heart. They carried Jesus off the cross and placed Him in the borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And that was Friday the first day, and Saturday the second day, and then the first day of the week, that first Easter Sunday, the first day, the women went to the tomb to anoint the body of Christ, and the stone had been rolled away. And an angel sat on the stone, and the Roman guards that had been sent to guard the tomb lay as dead men. And the angel said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell His disciples He has risen from the dead." That is our faith. That is our hope. That is our outward and upward focus that changes everything. I'd invite the deacons to join with me as join hands. Matt, you can turn and join with me, and we'll bridge that gap. Would you join hands with the person next to you? And as we sing our benediction, "Blessed be that tie," may that be our tie as we go from this place. Let's sing together. God bless you.